The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This episode of Hollinger & Duncan is brought to you by 1010. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today, using only diamonds responsibly and sustainably sourced from Botswana. 10 design masters have each produced a set of 10 uniquely beautiful diamond rings, and they're available now! Exclusively at BlueNile.com. This exciting collection of truly unique, limited edition diamond engagement rings is available now only at BlueNile.com. All right, thanks for bearing with us last week during a week off, but we are back now and we have a really exciting topic. I have no idea how long this is going to take us. Probably going to be a two-parter at least, I would imagine. But what John and I are going to talk about is who you would most want to be a fan of over the next 5 years. Obviously, there's some level of subjectivity to that. What did you consider, John, as you were putting together?
So, yeah, I think it's important to talk about this a little bit. I think the number one thing, obviously, is being good, right? You want to see your team win games, win championships, succeed at a high level. Or if failing that, succeed at some level. Then I think secondary to that is just the general entertainment value of, are there exciting young players? Are there unique players who are kind of just fun? Are there other things about this team that would make you want to root for them on some level? So I think those things all apply too.
The old saying? You're either selling wins or you're selling hope.
Yeah, exactly. But sometimes you could just be selling entertainment too. There have been some very entertaining average teams and some very boring average teams. And I think the fan experience was quite different, even though the win-loss records were pretty similar, right?
Yeah, so obviously a big part of this projecting who you think is going to be good over the next 5 years. And for that, obviously just winning games, but also I think some championship equity. If you're a team like the Atlanta Hawks from 08 to until they won 60 games, when they made the playoffs for like 6-7 years in a row, but they were losing second round and non-competitively at that every year, and they didn't really have a superstar that you were so excited about watching on a daily basis, you probably would lower that team a bit in terms of a little bit lower than just, hey, this is one of the 8 best teams in basketball. That team, if we were doing the rankings back then, wouldn't have been top 10.
But they call themselves the Highlight Factory, Nate.
Well, now they are. Now they're actually being saying, well, where the Hawks end up. So obviously a big part of what we're going to talk about is how we project perform. But obviously having stars, watchable players, and as I mentioned, selling hope. Is there just young guys that you really want to see develop as opposed to guys like, yeah, you know, a good player and we can get to 500 this year. But, they're a team, for example, if let's say the Orlando Magic, you could just freeze them in time the next 5 years, they would still be probably towards the bottom of the rankings for me, where even though they would be a reasonably average team at full health, just because there's not much championship back there, the star they really want to watch, there's no hope that things could get better over time.
Yeah, exactly.
Management, coaching, that's also got to be in, right?
Yeah, I mean, you want your team to be well run because then that applies, that washes over into wins as well. And I think especially when we get toward the bottom of this list, I think that's going to come into play a little more.
Yeah, you would certainly want to just, there are a number of bad teams on this list, but there are some where you have some faith in their organization. Did our organization rankings last year? This isn't necessarily the same inquiry as that. But if you're like, hey, yeah, they're kind of down and out now, but I trust these guys, they have a track record, as opposed to, I don't exactly. How did you view it as, let's say there's a team that is a championship contender now, but they're probably going to drop down within a year or two?
to, and you know, by the end of this period, probably aren't going to be that great. Or say a team like, you know, the Grizzlies or something, or the Pels, where yeah, they're kind of average right now, but you expect them to get a lot better, maybe be in championship contention by the end of this 5 window that we're looking
at. So I came at it from the perspective that the ride up is more fun than the ride down. Yeah. So I probably pushed those teams up a little that were more aiming toward the future.
Yeah, I think I see that aspect as well, but I also see the aspect of we know who's good right now, and we yeah. don't know that. So I kind of discount what I expect for all these in 5 years. I mean, if you like, Danny and I do a podcast every year where we try to predict what's going to happen 2 years out, and obviously that's a hilarious, miserable failure because we always go back and look at what our predictions were on a pod, and we're like, yeah, that was too close there. So anything else you want to talk about here before we say who the, you know, if you are listening to this podcast for the first time and you want to pick a team to be a fan of, we're going to tell them who they should be a fan of over the next 5 years, who's going to bring you the most joy?
Yeah, sure, we could do that. You know, it's funny though, because so there's one thing that we didn't really talk about, because we talked about success, but late playoff failure is more painful, right?
Yeah, but you're at least you're getting there. You have the feeling of hope throughout the entire season, right?
So I just worry about this a little with the team I have at number one.
Okay.
Actually, I worry about this a little with my top three teams, actually, because I think they're all really, really good for the next 5 years, but I just don't know about getting to that final step. So the number one team I had was Milwaukee. Because you have Giannis signed for the next 5 years. You have Budenholzer. You still have Middleton and Holiday, presuming Holiday re-signs. Like, no matter what else they do, they are going to be really good. And they are going to rack up regular season wins. Now, whether how that translates in the playoffs, I mean, that's been some question over the last couple of years. So that could get a little dicey maybe. But I mean, just having him locked up for half a decade, that's 50 wins automatic, isn't it?
I do not have the Milwaukee Bucks in my top tier.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
And so I'll explain why. Yeah, I think I'm not a believer in the moves that they've made. I'm not, like, one of two things is going to happen. Either Holiday is going to re-sign for an astronomical sum, or he's going to be gone. Mm-hmm. So they have no flexibility whatsoever to get better. And I don't think they're good enough right now. And I also don't think that Giannis, compared to some guys, is going to age as well as 30-year-old Giannis. Like, I think 30-year-old Giannis is a worse player than, what is he now, 26-year-old Giannis? I think we're looking at, and I think it's even, like, he's having a worse year this year than he did last year. Like, it's mm-hmm. possible, there's also this whole free throw and shooting thing as well. I think it's possible that we may have already seen the best there is from Giannis. Not that he won't continue to be a great player, mm-hmm. but, and then I also just don't believe in their organization as well. I think that's
so I share that concern. I just think once you have Giannis under contract, there's like, you can only screw it up so much. And while I wouldn't say I had tremendous faith in them, like I wouldn't compare them to the Kings either, right? Like, you know, like it's not that level.
Well, so let me ask you this. What do you think is the one team that is most likely to win at least one championship over the next 5 years?
Most likely to win at least one. Would you have to say the Lakers?
I think that you probably would, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Now they're, I don't, with LeBron, I mean, he's got to get worse at some point. They don't really have much flexibility to get better either. You know, the Schroeder move has been a little bit dicey. I'm not sure if he's going to be like a third big stalwart for them going forward. But yes, I think they are the championship favorite so far this year. Who else is in that mix to you?
So I kind of had six teams at the top where I feel like there's some championship equity and at least some pathway to being pretty good or to very good for a stretch of multiple seasons. So I looked at Boston, where you have Tatum and Brown as young as they are. I mean, that is locked in, right?
Yep, I had them as well.
I had Denver with Jokic and Murray. And I mean, Jokic is still in his 20s and is dominating the league.
Interesting. That is another team that I did not have in my top tier. I don't think that Denver, I don't see them being a serious championship contender over the next 5 years, although they will be very good.
And then Denver, I also also had up there because it's just fun as hell to watch Jokic, right?
That's right. And they also have a pretty good organization. They've been able to find some guys. Porter is another fun guy who, if you just pretend that he only plays basketball and never says anything off the court, could be a really fun guy to root for. Jamal Murray is a great guy and also a great player. And hopefully, like, they, but I'm worried that they just can't be good enough defensively to win a championship built the way they are right now.
Sure. I had the two LA teams where you worry a little more about the age factor, but you look at what they have right now is just so good.
Yeah. And they also just have the fact that it's LA and that can kind of let them squeeze a little bit more out of the they have.
Yeah, totally. And then the other one I had, this one's a little more dicey, but I had Philadelphia.
Another team, I see them as, there are a number of teams that I just felt don't have the championship equity. And I could very easily be proven wrong. Like, you wrote about this week about how Jokic and Embiid are dominating in ways that we haven't seen from pure centers. But I also, I need to see Jokic, particularly defensively in the playoffs, and Embiid on offense in the playoffs, and also on defense, actually, to see whether he has scheme versatility. I don't still take Denver or Philly seriously as championship contenders. I think they'll always be in the mix every year the way that they're built now, and Philly has pretty competent management, but I just don't think that those two stars, as good as they are, I think there's always going to be somebody who's better than them, and that they're not, those guys are not going to be top five players in the NBA where they're really, as at least as playoff players.
Yeah okay the other thing that held me back on Philly a little bit is because you're always worried about Embiid health wise
yeah.
So that one maybe held me back a little bit on him. And then the fit with Simmons is still a little uncertain. Like, Simmons, Harris, is that good enough as your second and third guys, even if Embiid is awesome, to win at the highest levels? Probably a little more question about that.
Yeah. I mean, could Joel Embiid have, like, a good playoff series against a real team first? Is that too much to ask?
He was pretty good in that Toronto series a couple years ago.
No, he wasn't. He couldn't score at all. He was, I mean, the plus minus numbers, yeah, but like, he was, he got completely shut down by Gasol.
Okay.
They had nobody else at backup center, but I mean, if you go back and look at his scoring numbers, they were not robust in that series.
Okay. I guess I'm remembering the one game too much. He had the one game where he was really good and he had the flying dunk.
The windmill when they were just like blowing him out. Yeah.
Yeah. And obviously he missed the one game, and that was kind of crucial too. Yeah.
And also, I thought even last year, yes, they had a flawed team around him, but like,
he was not good.
He wasn't good in that Celtics series. I mean, he had a couple of good games at the beginning, but they're a team that had no one to guard him one-on-one, but he still wasn't able to have the offensive impact. All right, let's take a quick break here, and we haven't even said one team. I guess you gave your number one. I got to give my number one. We'll do that right after. With the holidays finally behind us, it's time to catch up on some much needed sleep. And even though getting a good night's sleep is much easier said than done, our friends at CBDMD have exactly what you need to sleep harder than NBA media is sleeping on DeAndre Hunter. It's actually starting to age pretty well that they picked DeAndre Hunter. He's having a good season. Maybe I was sleeping on him too much. CBD PM blends 500 milligrams of high-quality CBD with melatonin, valerian root, not as good as valerian steel, but close, chamomile, and other sleep-promoting ingredients to create a powerful and effective sleep aid. And if you want to relax a little before bed, their new CBD bath salts fuse superior CBD with Epsom, Dead Sea, and Himalayan salts to turn any bath into a luxury experience, and are available in lavender or eucalyptus scents, as well as a soothing nighttime blend with melatonin and calming herbs. To make it even easier to get the year started off right, CBDMD is offering all our listeners 25% off your next order when you use the promo code MBA at checkout. Once again, that's cbdmd.com, promo code MBA for 25% off your purchase of superior CBD products, CBDMD. Sports fans, the biggest football betting day of the year is coming up this Sunday. There's only one place that has you covered, one place that we trust, that's betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus. You don't have to sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. And don't forget that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Whatever you want to bet on, betonline.ag is your choice, your online sportsbook expert. So why don't we finish up here? Is there anyone else you haven't named yet that you had kind of in your top tier?
No, I had a pretty big next tier, but I didn't have anyone. I mean, even this top tier, I kind of split in two a little bit, because I thought Milwaukee, Boston, and Denver were much more likely to stay at this level for the full 5 years than Lakers, Clippers, Philly. But Lakers, Clippers, Philly probably have more short-term championship equity, especially Lakers and Clippers. Philly, I guess, remains to be seen. So it's a difficult yin and yang with that. So it's kind of almost like a 1A, 1B for me.
So there are a couple of teams. I had Boston. I had the Lakers. I had the Clippers in my top tier. Mm-hmm. I had Milwaukee and Denver in my second tier. Just again, I think if the sole purpose of the inquiry was who's going to win the most games over the next 5 years, Milwaukee and Denver would clearly be higher. But I kind of value getting to that one championship maybe a little bit more to really give you something to celebrate about. So here are the other teams that I have in my top tier.
Okay.
I do have the Brooklyn Nets. I realize that you can't stop.
Yeah, that was a tough one for me. I moved them down. We could talk a little about more of them in a minute. I want to hear who else you had.
And then I had the Miami Heat.
Okay.
As a very good organization, a lot of exciting young players. At a minimum, even if they don't get into championship contention, you know that their young guys are going to keep them around for a while. They are probably, I would say, the team, if not the best, up there, the best position to bring in another star via trade at this point. And they made the finals last year. And yes, I know that they are really struggling this year, but the other team that I'm about to talk about is like that too. You know, I'm not putting that much stock in like this season so far, just because of how fucked it's been. I'm just basing it more on, like, I mean, yeah, Miami's been terrible, but Bam Adebayo looks really good so far, and that, you know, Hero doesn't, but Bam looks awesome. That's like probably the most important thing for them. And then the other team I have is the Dallas Mavericks.
Okay.
You know, I still a believer in Luka. Porzingis injury issues and his bad performance here do give me some pause, but I think they can kind of figure it out. They do have flexibility this upcoming summer, even if it's not going to be to get them another star, most likely. But I think Luka is just so good that, and they have a good coach as well. They have a good organization. I think at a minimum, they're going to be a team that's, you know, competing for home court advantage in the West every year. But I see them as having more upside than Philly or Denver, just because they have Luka, who is that one perimeter star that basically all champions days builds.
Yeah, I was a lot more bullish on Dallas probably coming into the season. And I think the Porzingis thing gave me the heebie-jeebies a little bit, because it's hard for them to acquire another star at this point. They can get other good secondary players, but to get like another star with the draft picks they're out and the players they have right now to put in deals, it's going to be hard. So that, like, Porzingis is a guy they're counting on to play at a somewhat high level. Maybe he gets back to that. Maybe this is just a blip and we all laugh about it in June or whatever, but it gave me enough pause, and the health history of players of his size doesn't help me with that.
Yeah, and I am being a little bit hypocritical here, because he doesn't have a lot of scheme versatility defensively either. He probably has less even than Embiid does, and so that's a big concern as well. But I mean, I figure the downside is if it doesn't work out, you get to watch Luka Doncic for the next 5 years.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's where I am with Jokic a little bit, but I think he's got better help.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, who do you think wins more games over the next 5 years, Denver or Dallas?
I think the Nuggets might. I don't know. I mean, like, Murray to me is really good. I mean, he's been hurt at the start of this year, so he hasn't played like that as much, but he's a pretty good number two guy, right? And then Porter is potentially a pretty lethal number three guy. Now, there's more ifs there with the health and the defense and everything, but he's shown he's capable of it, certainly. And then their history, you know, they've tended to draft and develop well, so filling in the back end of the roster has usually not been a problem for them. They're still, I mean, Murray and Jokic are still young. They both can still get better. I think there's a lot to like there with the Nuggets.
I think if healthy, I like Luka and Porzingis a little bit more than Jokic, Murray. Admittedly, it's close. And we'll just have to see whether Jamal Murray's playoff performance last year, Luke, if he really is that guy in the playoffs, then okay, I'm on board.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, he was pretty good the year before in the playoffs, too.
Yeah. But, yeah, and I also think Dallas has a little bit better ownership. They have better coaching.
Well, Dallas is more willing to spend than Denver, certainly.
Yeah, I think because, I mean, what is the stat that there have been two teams in the last, like, 20 years that haven't paid the luxury tax that won the championship? It's like the 15 Warriors and the...
One of the Spurs team wasn't in the tax.
Yeah, and the Lakers last year were not in the tax. So, because they used cap space, the preceding. summer. But yeah, so but generally you're going to have to go into attack build, and maybe that's something that would happen when Jokic is coming to the end of the contract and they feel like they really got to impress him and keep him. Yeah, so what about Brooklyn though? You did not have them in the highest tier. I mean, they clearly have as much talent as any.
Yeah, and it'll be fun as hell to watch over the next couple years. It just all feels a lot more fragile to me. Between the lack of defense, the fact that all three of them can leave after 22, Kyrie's injury history, Durant's injury history for that matter. I just think there's a lot more ways it can go wrong.
I might have actually felt better about them before the hard trade.
Right. I mean, they could really use Jared Allen right now, certainly. I mean, I think that's been clear with their defense lately.
Yeah, and they already had a great offense. I think there's going to be diminishing returns there at some point, and mm-hmm. being able to stop people seems like it could be a little bit of an issue for them. But I still think they just to have those three guys, maybe you could trade one of them if you have to. And also, like, you know, watching Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, pretty damn fun for yeah. the next couple of years. And they have a good organization, although how much that organization is still actually calling the shot is a little bit...
Totally. I lost my thought.
Well, let me ask you this. You weren't as high on Miami.
Yeah, it was hard for me because I still feel like it's Jimmy Butler's team, and I just don't know how well he's going to hold up. And then I felt like I'm saying last spring, like the playoffs are in the spring, last postseason was a little bit of a perfect storm for them that I don't know how easy it's going to be replicate. And I think we're seeing some of that this year. Certainly they are well positioned, right? They are set up somewhat to trade for another star player because they can use Hero or whatever, or Robinson or some of these other guys, even though they're out future draft picks. Like, they can help themselves from their current spot if another star player becomes available. So, but I guess I was just a little more comfortable with them in that second group because I don't see like the sort of automatic path to like, yes, this is a team that can at least make the conference finals almost every year the way you do with like Boston or Denver.
So by top three, I really agonized about this.
Yeah, I wanted to ask, who is your number one?
So I mean, I'm almost still agonizing about it. Mm-hmm. And it really comes down to what you value. Boston, the Lakers, and the Clippers were probably the top three.
Right.
And Boston, I probably wouldn't have had there until we've seen what Jaylen Brown has done this year and him really becoming a legitimate all-star. And also, I think a guy who has athletically a lot of upside. And between him and Tatum, you know, Smart is he's nearing the end of his contract. Not clear if he's going to be around or not. They don't really have a long-term piece at center. Kemba is, you know, a little dicey, although he's looked better, spin back. But I think Boston, I don't think that they have an unbelievable chance of winning a championship over the next 5 years. But I mean, they've made three of the last four conference finals. They got a great coach. They always seem to find a way to be better than expectation. Somebody always come out of the work. And they've got those two guys to where, I mean, it's very difficult to imagine them not winning 50 games a year. And I think they've got a little bit of an upside. And they've got it at the most important positions. Much easier to fill in some guys at the big position. So I think I was thinking about putting them number one. I don't think I'm going to do that. I think I'm going to put the Lakers number one. Mm-hmm. But if only because there isn't that dominant team that you look at as like, this is the up-and-coming team that, you know, like Oklahoma City in 2012, which ironically never won a championship, right? There isn't that Oklahoma City in 2012 team out there. And, you know, pretty rare that you'll get that historically as well. You know, there's no Chicago Bulls in 1989. Out there at this point. There's no Lakers in 1999 out there.
Or if there is, we haven't identified them.
Yeah, no, I think that's true. But as you go through, I mean, there are a lot of these teams, like as we'll go through these up-and-coming teams, none of those teams to me have like the guy. I mean, maybe Dallas to me is probably the biggest one where you're like, all right, they have that guy in Luka, where you're like, this is the guy who's going to be a top five player in the league going forward. But there isn't, and maybe Giannis is the other one. But again, I've talked about these flaws with the Bucks team and his flaws as well. And so it's just, you know, I'm not even sure that Giannis is a top five player in the playoff at the point either. So there's that lack of just that one up and coming star who's like, you know, 24 and like, this guy's going to rule the next 5 years. I think I'll just go with the certainty and put the Lakers number one.
Yeah, because I mean, no matter what LeBron does, they got AD locked up, right? So
yeah, and I mean, all of this really is just how long can LeBron James keep going? That's really the big question here. I mean, that determines whether. But you know, the Lakers are going to spend too. They're in LA. I don't think they have like the most unbelievable organization, but I think once they moved on for Magic Johnson, they're at least comp now.
Right. Yeah. They'll. Yeah. I think that's fair.
All right. So my number one was the Lakers, and your number one was the Milwaukee Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
And then who is your two?
I had Boston.
Okay.
I had Boston two and Denver three.
Yeah. So I think I would have Boston two as well. And I'll probably go with the Clippers at three. Now, if Kawhi Leonard were to leave in free agency after this year, they could be completely screwed. But I love the way that Leonard is playing this year. I love the way that Paul George is playing. They have a good organization. They're also in LA. They can sign a Serge Ibaka type of guy to level every year. And so I think that would probably be the top three to me. Where'd you have the Clippers?
So I had the Lakers and Clippers fourth and fifth. I went Milwaukee, Boston, Denver, then Lakers, Clippers.
Lakers and Clippers. Lord. So it seems like you're kind of just more valuing having a team that wins consistently over the next 5 years.
I was trying to really look at the full 5 year window, and you know, the Clippers burned all that draft equity, so it's going to be hard for them to really fill in from the bottom. That's why I put them only fifth.
Yeah, for me personally, as a fan, like if you're the eighth seed or lower, unless you just have a really up and coming team and a really exciting team, there isn't really that much difference to me as a fan, unless you're like at least putting in a really good series in the first round. Like if you lose in the first round 4-1, like that's not really that great to me as a fan. Like that's no different. I almost would rather have as a fan a team that's like getting some lottery picks that are really awesome, and like now you get to watch this guy develop. That's what I think a lot of fans really enjoy that aspect. So so when I think about it, it's like, okay, the Lakers, maybe, or the Clippers, they might win a championship, but then, you know, years 4 and 5, they're going to be below 500. That doesn't really bother me. It's not, you know, that's not much difference between 30 wins and 42 win me as a fan.
I would mostly agree with that. Yeah. Yeah.
Here's another team that we haven't talked about. Where did you have Dallas, by the way? You're lower on them?
I had them seventh. So I kind of had them between the A group and the B group.
Okay. That's not that much lower than me, I would say. The average protein bar is quite terrible. It tastes like one of those layers of sedimentary rock at the top of the Grand Canyon. Built Bar has solved that problem, though. They are now up to 18 amazing flavors, 6 new ones. Cherry Barcia, cookies and cream, caramel brownie, lemon almond cheesecake. That goes with the 12 original flavors like raspberry, German chocolate, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, mint brownie. They taste so good because they're covered in 100% chocolate and they're soft and easy to chew, but they are still great for the health conscious guy. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, great for a keto diet. For example, their peanut butter bar, 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, just 5 grams of net carbs. And you can get a free cooler with purchase while supplies last. Go to builtbar.com and use the promo code LOCKDOWN, the name of this network. You'll get 20% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKDOWN for 20% off at builtbar.com.
What's up, sports fans? Matt Peck here, host of Locked On Bulls, and I want to talk to you really quickly about another excellent podcast. Huge Fan is a new SiriusXM original podcast where stars talk sports. Each week, join host LaChyna Robinson as she chats with your favorite celebs about childhood sports memories, game day rituals, the most heated rivalries, and more. And this new season features huge names like Anthony Ramos from In the Heights and Hamilton, Pat Carney from the Black Keys, Mel C, that's right, a.k.a. Sporty Spice from the Spice Girls, and even actress Michelle Williams talking about her love for our very own Chicago Bulls. Huge Fan is a fresh way to connect with your favorite artists, actors, and personalities about something we all understand, fandom. Huge Fan is now out on Pandora, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or wherever it is that you get your podcasts. And don't forget to follow the show or subscribe on your favorite podcast app so you never miss an episode.
So any teams that are kind of in that top 10 that we haven't talked about for you yet?
Memphis and Atlanta.
Yes. That is interesting. And you have them ahead of New Orleans.
Yeah, I do. I had New Orleans a little further down. And I get why you would put them on the same trajectory. I just have so many more questions about Zion and what his longevity is going to be like.
Yeah, although he's, the fact that he has made it through so far this year is good. I mean, to me, it's a little bit more just about how he hasn't been playing like that well. I mean, he still looks great for any second year player, but he doesn't look like yet that the guy that we thought were like, oh, this guy's going to revolutionize basketball. Like, we haven't.
Yeah, and he's yet. I mean, he's so shitty on defense. I mean, that's a problem.
Hilariously, that is the case, even though he's gotten way better.
right. Like, I don't know if you watched that Sacramento game last night. Like, between Williamson, Jackson Hayes, and Bagley and Whiteside, like, if you want to see bigs just wandering around, like, lost, not knowing what's going on, like, that was your Mona Lisa right there.
Well, I did not watch that game, and the reason why is because I watched the first game between them.
Oh.
in which the exact same phenomenon.
Yeah, was and there was no Steven Adams last night either. So it was a mess.
So I have Memphis, Atlanta, and New Orleans in a tier pretty much middle of the pack, actually, as up and coming teams. Because I mean, what is really the ceiling for Memphis and Atlanta? Like, do you see them as teams that are going to be in the conference finals the next 5 years? If you're really like, if you're going to predict over under number of conference finals for the Atlanta Hawks the next 5 years, how many are they going to?
Okay, I would probably be more inclined to say zero. Although, no, that's not true. You can't set an over under at zero, right? Like there are a lot of halfway decent teams that have played one.
I will say I think it's, if the over under were 0.5, I would take zero for the Atlanta Hawks.
Wow. Okay. I might at least be inclined to say one. They are not that far away from being pretty damn good. I mean, Trey defensively is always going to be a little bit of an issue, but I do think, like, if they can trade for another wing player and use, especially if they're able to use Collins as that piece, man, they're in great shape. Especially with the way Hunter has turned the corner, the way Capella is playing. We still haven't really seen much from Okongwu, but I'm bullish on him. Like, I think there's a lot to like here, and they still have their future firsts. So, you know, if they want to put those in a deal at some point, I think they're in a really good position.
Well, I agree with you on all that, but I will tell you, Atlanta fans, I've been higher on Trae Young at basically every point than the vast majority of people, I would say, going back to draft process. I don't see him as a guy who can lead a team to the conference final.
Just because of defense, or just because or just because his stylistically the way he plays offense?
Well, I think it's that I think if you switch it, like, I thought watching him try to attack Anthony Davis last night in that game was very instructive. Mm-hmm. That he really could not get anything done against him. And yeah, you know, when teams aren't prepared for you, and when they're going to, and also like how reliant he is on foul drawing as well. We've seen James Harden, a guy whose effectiveness really has decreased in the playoffs because teams are just ready for that.
Yeah.
You know, Trey doesn't really have the ability to rise up as quickly. Like, you know, he has games where teams are like, okay, we're just going to take the three-pointer away from you, right? Like, he had 4 3-point attempts against the Lakers last night, and he made one of them. Like, he's not like Steph Curry, where Steph is going to get up 10 threes a game in the playoffs, no matter how hard you try to stop him. Like, Trae Young's not like that. And I don't quite believe in him enough as an ISO guy if you switch him. And then, of course, there's the defense rotation. So I'm not saying it's impossible, but I don't think that Trae Young is, I think he's still massively underrated by the majority of the public, but I just don't think he is that star who's really going to be able to be a high level offense player in second round of the playoffs when you have so many teams that have scheme versatility with big.
Wow. Huh. I just think he has a lot in his bag. I mean, yeah, the very elite bigs like a Bam or a Davis can probably switch on him and play him that way. But you can, you know, he can also go hunting too. I mean, you're not obligated to have Capella be the screener, are you?
He's going to go one-on-one against, like, you know, your shooting guard or something?
Or your power forward, or, you know, or, I mean, do you want to switch a Gallinari pick and roll with Trae Young?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't expect Gallo to be a part of this team by the time they're ready to get the conference final, but...
That's possible, yeah. Too. I mean, we'll see what they get from Gallo. It hasn't been a great start here.
No, So Memphis to me is a more interesting, though. Mm-hmm. I'm a bigger believer in Ja Morant's ability to be a high-level playoff performer than Trae Young.
Yeah, I mean, he has to solve the under, obviously. Like, he has to punish the under, right? That's the thing that's missing, right?
Yeah, and obviously, Jaren Jack's health issues. I guess this is the thing, right? Like, let's say they just keep this team together, and everyone kind of hits a pretty decent outcome for them. Is that a conference finals team over the next 5 years?
Could be one, right? Could be sort of like the team we had, I guess, where you get to one. You know, it's a combination of good players plus crazy depth, right? Like,
yeah,
that.
And I think their organization is good. I trust them to continue drafting well. Like, that's going to be a part of it. But, you know, I'm not sure that John Morant and Jaren Jackson and some guys is a conference finals team. And, you know, again, we're hoping that these are teams that are going to have some championship equity. And, you know, I'm not sure they're going to get there.
I think they're in good position to trade for that third guy, though.
Some of these teams that are like established type of winners, like a Utah, for example. Like, I have mm-hmm. them below Utah, both Atlanta and Memphis. And New Orleans, Jackson Hayes doesn't look like he's working out. Ingram and Zion, not sure about the fit there. They've got these young guys backcourt. Let's see how they work out. I don't see Bledsoe being a huge part of what they're doing, but by the end, they got to fix their backup front court. But they have so many picks. I think that's got to be part of it, too. That they can add the pieces of need. That's why I think I might believe more in them than Memphis and Atlanta, just because they've got so much ammo to either use those picks and get another star or to make.
Well, yeah, I mean, if we're looking at the next 5 years, it's probably in terms of a trade with them, because these picks they do have are all like 23, 24, 25, 26, 27. They have one from the Lakers this year, but.
All right, so I guess I could still talk more about these up and coming teams. And I had them, these teams all kind of mid-pack in a 14, 18 range. Okay. I had Oklahoma City in this group too. And I think I don't expect them to win as many games because they're just a little bit further behind in rebuild. But they have so many picks. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is a fun guy to watch in the meantime. And, you know, I think there's something just as far as being a fan where you could be like, hey, better days are ahead. Like, this is going to be great. Like, we've got all the picks. We can watch three young guys a year develop. Some of those guys are going to turn out to be really good players. They got a good organization. They can, if they're ready to win, they can go ahead and get guys with all the assets they have. So I have OKC in that same group, even if they are a couple of years behind and they don't have a guy like Zion or Ja, although Shai is good.
Yeah, I think it's going to take them a couple of years to get to that point. So that's why I downgraded them a little bit. I had them in the middle of the pack. Actually, I kind of had them toward the back of the pack. I thought they would surely be bad for a couple years, and then, you know, and then we'll see what happens after that. But they have so many picks, the cap room, the unintentional comedy of Poku's minutes between now and then. There's a lot to entertain you as a Thunder fan.
Yeah, I think so. And again, this goes to my proclivities when it comes to team building. But, you know, I have the Thunder much higher on this list than, say, the Magic or some of these East teams that are like kind of slowly building but don't really have any extra picks or anything like that.
I would agree with that.
RockAuto.com is a family business. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years now. If you're into working on your own car and truck, saving some money both in labor and on parts, go to rockauto.com and you can shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. Just put in the make and model of your car. It's everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamp, motor oil, even new carpet. Their catalog is really easy to navigate and the prices are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. There's no reason to go to the auto parts store in person, especially these days, just to find out that they don't have your part and they're going to order it online the same way that you could with rockauto.com for a less expensive price and without going to the store. So go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car and truck, right? Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box, so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
David Harrison here, the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast, celebrating with you a 21 grain salute to a less boring sandwich thanks to Dave's Killer Bread. I don't know about you guys, but when I eat pizza, I eat it for the toppings, not the crust. And when I eat a sandwich, it's for what's inside the bread, not for the bread. But when I throw a sandwich on 21 whole grains and seeds, thin sliced bread from Dave's Killer Bread, it is the epitome of addition by subtraction. That thin sliced bread lets me focus on what's inside the sandwich, but also adds to the sandwich with killer taste, killer texture, killer nutrition, a subtle sweetness, and a seed coated crust. Dave's Killer Bread is is America's number one organic bread for a reason. It tastes so stinking good. Dave's Killer Bread is made with the highest quality organic and non-GMO ingredients and is power-packed with whole grains, fiber, and protein. Visit DavesKillerBread.com to learn more and look for Dave's Killer Bread in the bread aisle of your local grocery store.
Well, so here's the team we haven't talked about yet.
Okay.
The Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, I kind of had them closer to the bottom than the top.
That's really surprising. So I had them at 8. And I mean, a big part of that is that, you know, for me, just personally, aesthetically, Steph Curry is, you know, one of maybe the top three or four players to watch ever. And he's going to have at least a couple more years where just turning this team on a nightly basis, like, it's going to be interesting just to watch it.
I agree with that. You have Wiseman. You have the Minnesota pick. I think they're in a really hard place otherwise. They're paying Klay Thompson a ton of money. They're paying Wiggins a ton of money. They're paying Draymond a ton of money. I mean, what are they going to get from that these next few years? And are they willing to? I mean, that's the other thing you have to ask yourself. Like, they're what, like $20 million into the tax in 2022-23? Like, you know, that's without any penalties or anything on, you know, for repeater on top of that with six guys. So are they really going to keep this together going forward to go like 39 and 43 and have Steph score 60 occasionally?
Yeah, that's a concern. Although Wiseman could develop. I'm a little bit lower on him than some, but then they also have that Minnesota pick. So that's nice, right? Like, don't you get just like a slight bonus to, you know, hey, if the Warriors lost, then you can go turn on the Wolves game and watch them lose. Right? Like, that's got to give you a bit of a warm and fuzzy feeling as a fan, right?
Yeah, you might get 2 years worth of that too, depending on if the pick conveys this year, right?
Yeah, that would be crazy if it doesn't. But, you know, I think, and there's still some value of just seeing the core. I mean, there's really no other team like this at this point. I mean, maybe the Raptors have a little bit of it, and maybe the Lakers too, but this wasn't, you know, these aren't long-term Lakers who won. But just to see the same guys that you've seen for the last 8 years go out there and play and like remind you of all those good times. And yeah, they can't do it every night, but they still have these throwback moments every once in a while. Obviously, it much depends on how Klay comes back as well. I mean, I'm not counting on that being awesome, but I think on a night-to-night basis, you still have a very, you know, one of the more entertaining products to watch. And then there is some hope for the future with Wiseman in this pick. They're probably one of the top three or four teams that's best positioned to trade for a star at the point in time.
Can I say something that's going to hurt your feelings? One of the reasons to be bullish about their future, but maybe it's actually in like years 5, 6, 7 out, is that if Curry does decide he wants to be somewhere else, the mountain of draft equity they can get for that with where the market has been established and how long he signed for would be massive.
Yeah, it hasn't gone that way yet, although a little bit weird that, you know, there was no extension rumbling. Like, he could have gotten an extension for 3 years at, you know, $40 million a year. Now, his quote when asked about that was, it kind of seemed more like he was leaning towards he might be willing to do kind of a Dirk Nowitzki type of take a little bit less to help him in his twilight years. But
yeah,
not having a guy under contract is a little bit concerning. He's also going to be 34 by the end of this contract. So that's, I think everyone wants to kind of see where he's at, but presumably they'll give him a golden parachute of, you know, whatever contract he wants to this, just because he was making $11 million a year when they were awesome. But
yeah,
and you know, this is a team that I watch on a daily basis, and I'm not really, you know, I enjoy watching still, I think. And you know, if it weren't for Wiseman and the Minnesota pick, I think then, you know, they would clearly be a lot lower. But, and they also have, at least for now, the willingness to spend a ton. So,
They have Smiley on a minimum for 2 more years.
Right? 2 more months.
You know how I struggled with Utah?
Yeah, I think this beginning of this year has been very encouraging, except for the fact that Donovan Mitchell has probably been their most disappointing player so far, despite this incredible start they've had.
Yeah, and he's the one on the Supermax. Now, in a way, it helps them if he doesn't make third team All-NBA, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But you look at what the corner they painted themselves into financially going forward, and you wonder how much they're going to be willing to spend. Like, it's going to be really hard for them to keep Conley after this year, for instance, and he's been fantastic. And it's going to be really hard for them to put together even a competent bench behind these top 6 or 7 guys when you look at how close to the next year's tax line they are already. Bogdanovich is in his 30s, hasn't been that good this year. Is Clarkson the guy who's going to carry them to the promised land. So I think you still have a lot of questions going forward when you get into these out years with Utah, even while acknowledging it's all working for them right now.
Yeah, and they're another team that I expect to be a bit of a paper tiger in the playoffs. I'm not leaving them as a championship contender so far this year. Maybe as more of them, my opinion on that will change. But I had them 10th. I think that they are, and I had them kind of in the same group as Philly and Indiana. And I also put Portland in there. I don't think Portland has as rosy of a future as those other three teams.
Yeah, I'd put them further down.
But Damian Lillard is a top five watch in the league. He's going to be around for a long time. And I think they're just seeing a franchise icon who's always there that you can rely on, that you're going to get to see every night. I think that's something that a lot of fans, it's really important. So that's why I had them a little bit higher. And they're always going to be an exciting team with Dame and CJ. CJ looked great so far this year. If they could get over these snake bit injury thing, I think they could still be pretty good this year. So yeah, that's another
yeah, if they could this. If they could find a forward with a pulse, that would help too.
Yeah, it seems like that every year, doesn't it?
Right. Yeah. It's like, was it, you're like, wait, was it so bad with Aminu and Harkless? Like, am I misremembering this? Like, yeah. To be fair, I mean, I think everyone was bullish on the moves, but Covington and Jones they just haven't done it so far.
Yeah, it's been a struggle to give up two first-round picks for Covington. I haven't checked his shooting in the last couple of weeks, but it was not good early on. Yeah, Portland, I maybe should probably move them down a little bit. I kind of, they fit in terms of just type with some of these other teams, but they're not as good a quality. They probably should be below, just like Atlanta at point.
Another team in the questionable if they make a conference finals, but lined up to be pretty good for a while right now. What about Indiana?
Yeah, I think it's really questionable on that. Frankly, questionable if they make the second round. They got to win a playoff game first.
That hasn't happened in a little while. Yes, that's a yeah. little bit of a red flag. But there isn't that one high level guy, which is always a little concern.
Yeah, you can only go so far when you don't have even a top 30 player.
You're going to get a bunch of hate mail from the Sabonis fans again. I look at it, Brogdon, LeVert, Warren, Sabonis, Turner is about as good a starting lineup as you can have without having an all NBA player on your team.
Yeah, that's also damning with faint praise at the same time.
A little bit. Sure.
I want to see what Bjorkgren is like as a playoff coach. I've liked what I've seen from him so far. I mean, this is a team that's going to be competent, that they've got exciting young players that the fans like. But yeah, I just don't see that guy who's going to be just an all NBA level player. And so it's really when's the last time a team with no all NBA caliber players made the second round of the playoff?
I think we didn't have anybody in the NBA team and made all NBA team and made the conference finals.
Well, you also had the defensive player of the year.
Yeah, and the other defensive player of the year.
Also, to be fair, you wouldn't have beat
Oklahoma City. Although we did beat Chris Paul and Blake Griffin and Lob City in the first round.
There was also Blake Griffin sprained his ankle before game five in that one too. I'll put it this way. I wouldn't favor Indiana to be making a conference finals in the next 5 years, right? Like you can always you can always have time. I mean, especially in the East, although the East has more depth now. So I think they're a solid team. They always seem to find contributors here and there.
Can they be like pre-Kawhi Toronto?
Except they don't have anyone as good as Kyle Lowry, and maybe not even as good as DeMar DeRozan.
Wow. Okay. Huh.
And Kyle Lowry was a no-brainer.
Yeah.
And I know he had some struggles in the playoffs here, but I think that's a reasonable analog. But also, like, the East sucked back then, right? Like,
The East is definitely a much tougher neighborhood than it used to be. I'm not going crazy here. I had Indiana 14th. I just wanted to at least ask the question, because you look at that starting five and they're still in their 20s and under decent contracts. You're like, oh, okay. All right. Like, that's okay.
Yeah. There's definitely something to believe in for right now. You're always going to have a good product on the floor. And hilariously, with you pushing Indiana harder, I have them 13th. I actually have them higher than you.
Awesome.
Yeah, I think this is interesting. I guess, let me ask you this overall question here. What team would you think will win most championships? Five? Is that the Lakers, I guess?
I really wasn't sure about that. I mean, the thing with the Lakers, it could go downhill pretty quickly, right?
Sure.
Given LeBron's age. So, that's not a thing you're going to bank on. That's why I kept coming back to Milwaukee. I mean, they were the most sure thing. Boston has two really good wing players, but the rest of the team right now just isn't that good. And so it's going to take them a little bit to piece that part together. And Denver, I mean, they haven't proven themselves at the highest levels yet.
I mean, I'll tell you what, as I look at it right now, I can't remember another time in history that it's been, I mean, it is so wide open right now over the next 5 years. There isn't a single team that I would say, like, other than the Lakers, I'm not sure that there's a team that I would even expect to get one championship over the next 5 years.
I could make a good case for the Clippers, maybe.
Yeah, if they were to keep Kawhi. I mean, I think if they beat the Lakers this year, then all of a sudden we could be like, oh, we're making this way too hard. They had this fluke loss last year in the bubble. They should have been the favorites the whole time. They got Kawhi has just re-signed. Paul George is playing great. And, you know, they're going to be the favorites for the next couple of years. That could certainly happen. So maybe it is the Clippers that still is the one. But, I mean, you've just got a lot of teams where just who develops, who makes the next trade. You just don't know what's going to happen with them,
which is
it's really fascinating.
Which is crazy given the arms race we've seen with teams just being like, here, take all our draft picks and trying to put together super teams. And yet when we look out, we're not like, oh, it's done, like the next foot, like as if we had done this in 2017, we were just like would it even have been a question who we would put number one, right? Like, and now it's completely different.
Yeah, I mean, and even you had like Kawhi on the Spurs, you're like, oh, we can count on them to be a 55 win team every year back then. It's just, I guess because there just were so many moves over these last 2 years, we don't even know what we have in some of them yet.
Yeah. What did you do with Toronto?
They're down there for me. As much as it pains me to say it, I just don't see the path for them. If they were on track to win their usual 50 games here, then maybe I'd feel a little bit better about it. But the cap space thing doesn't seem to have worked out. We'll see actually if their GM is even going to stay there as well.
That's a big one. Yeah, because that Washington stuff isn't going away.
Fred VanVleet is 26. Lowry might still be their best player, and he's not long for being a high level contributor, or maybe not,
or maybe even a Raptor. Yeah.
Although I hope he ends up there, but Siakam, his rough start, he's righted the ship a little bit, but you know that second team All NBA that he got last year is looking like it's going to be a pretty big.
All it did was screw up their cap, right?
Yeah, and you know, so much of this too. Think of how different we would be thinking about all this if Giannis just hadn't signed.
Oh my God! Yeah. Well, first of all, there'd be even more mayhem on our list at the top, but we would probably have teams like speculatively had teams like Miami, Toronto, and Dallas ranked higher because there was a chance that they would get Giannis, which is now gone.
And there's always the chance. I know Giannis has signed the Supermax and he can't be traded for a year, but he could be, if things don't work out in Milwaukee, he could be gone in a couple of years still.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, guys can get itchy for all kinds of reasons. So yeah, having a guy signed for 5 years isn't the guarantee of half a decade that it used to be. That's certainly true.
Are you worried at all about the way Milwaukee has started the season?
Not really. I feel like they have had some bad luck with the three-point gods in some games. I feel like they're trying a little more stuff, which I had hoped that they would do. And I don't worry that much about their second unit being crappy because those guys aren't going to play as much in a playoff game. So, and it's also the easiest thing to fix at the trade deadline or buyout or with buyouts. So I'm actually not that worried about them right now. Maybe I need to watch them more and get worried. I don't know. Maybe I'm missing something, but I just, it's hard for me to get that concerned with them right now.
Yeah. I'm worried about their defense not being that good. That was kind of what they hung their hat on. And it hasn't even been, interestingly, I thought it would be the bench defense. That actually hasn't been the problem. It's really been more what they've done with starters. And yeah, the shooting gods have been against a little bit, but I also think that giving up a lot of threes, like that's Kevin Pelton talked about this today, that's kind of gone back to being a bad thing again. The
Isn't that interesting? Yeah.
This protect the rim at all costs approach, it seems like, I mean, maybe that's just because teams are just getting more and more and more quality three-point shooting. But, and particularly, I think that's a, all right, really? You want your approach to be protect the rim at all costs and give up as many threes as you want to the Miami Heat or the Brooklyn Nets?
Exactly. That's the other thing is, regardless of how well it works in the regular season, when you get against playoff caliber opposition and had starters playing 40 minutes a game, it breaks down. And that's been the history of that strategy.
This Nets team, I can't get over what an absolute caricature they are right now. Like, every game that they have is just crazy must watching. Can you imagine a Net Bucks playoff series and what that's going to look like? That regular season game they played, I think it's pretty similar to that. Crazy. I don't know. I mean, we're spending a lot of time in Milwaukee because I think that's our biggest disagreement. And
Where did you have them?
I had them seventh. I didn't have them in the top tier because I think there's a somewhat of a chance that Giannis could leave. Well, so number one, it all goes back to just not thinking they're that good right now. Everything flows from that. You mentioned you can improve the bench, you can get guys the buyout market. I'm not sure they can because, I mean, you look, they got these big hard cap problems. There's teams out there like the Nets, for example, who also desperately need depth. Well, the Nets have a $5 million disabled player exception and the Bucks don't. The Bucks have a, hey, please, could you wait a few more days to sign because of the hard cap exception? So they have zero trade assets going forward. At least the Nets have like a few second rounders. So I'm not really sure that they can bolster. I mean, maybe they'll just figure something out somehow. And then I haven't liked the way that they've played this year. I think that they have to be a team that's going to win it with defense and score enough in the playoffs, because I don't think that Giannis can be that guy. And they've kind of got some good guys around it, but not great guys. And I think that it's just going to get worse for them in the coming years because everyone is old, except for DeVincenzo.
Yeah, so the age thing is definitely going to hit them, and so DiVincenzo, you're absolutely right, becomes a guy they're absolutely counting on. He has to be a good starter within the next couple of years for this to really work.
Yeah, or a possible trade piece as well. And so I kind of have this feeling of like this might be the best year, and they're not even playing that well this year. I think they could make it out of this. I wouldn't expect them to win the championship, and if it just kind of continues leading to disappointment, then maybe Giannis wants out, or you just kind of win three games fewer every year. And I mean, I guess you do get to watch Giannis Antetokounmpo, and that's awesome. But, I still, and also I think just watching Mike Budenholzer not adjust in the playoffs, I think that's got to knock you down like a couple of points right there. If you're an informed fan and you're just like, bashing your head in against the wall, watching this guy lose to a supposed to be your team in the playoffs every year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, hopefully they've learned from that.
Do you want to do one more team here before we go?
Yeah. So there's one team here we haven't talked about that I think I have them in the middle of the pack, but you can make a case for them to be higher. And that is Charlotte.
Interesting. And that's on the basis that LaMelo Ball is just going to be an all-star level player.
And regardless of what happens, it's going to be fun as hell.
That's true. I think so. And Borrego kind of coaches that way also.
Yeah, I think their cap is in a good position. Their draft situation is in a good position. They have Hayward, that contract isn't looking that bad at the moment. Have a couple at least semi-interesting young players. They've surprised me with how well they played this year. And I think when you look at LaMelo, especially, you got to feel like, hey, we might be in pretty decent shape here.
Yeah, and I have liked some of the stuff that he's doing. Like, he's been drawing more fouls lately, which is something that he really needed to do. But I almost worry that they're too good this year. I wish they were going to be in the mix for.
It's going to screw up their pick, right? They'll pick like 10th instead of 4th, and the early word is it's a 5-player draft basically, and then the quality gets sketchier after 5.
Interesting. Okay, yeah, I've been fastidiously ignoring that aspect thing until after it's over. But yeah, and obviously these rankings are going to change so much just based on who has the lottery luck this year.
Oh, totally.
That's going to be just a massive change. And there is a team actually that I'm surprised you haven't mentioned yet.
Okay.
The Phoenix Suns.
Yeah. So a couple things that I felt were working against them. First of all, they still have the same owner, right? And so that's a negative. Chris Paul's age, and right, so that I think weighs down on them too. You could argue for them to be higher. I mean, Booker, Bridges, Ayton, that's a nice core.
It is. And they've got some other young guys as well who've been pretty good. You know, I think I kind of see them as a team that's going to win 48 game-ish with this group. And maybe if Booker plays better and Ayton plays better, you get beyond that. I'm not sure, though, how they get to be absolutely elite on offense or defense, really get into that ultimate contention. But I think just simply having a core to where you can think about, okay, if these guys develop, could we be what Utah has been the last 4 years for the next 4 years? But it's with young guys that have all developed with this team that we get to watch.
Yeah.
Have this young core that's evolving. Like, that's part of a fun experience, man.
Yeah, I would agree with that. So yeah, I didn't crush Phoenix. I had them in the teens, but yeah, that's why I didn't have them. I think, you know, the Sarver factor kind of held me back.
Yeah, I had them in that group of up and coming teams, but I do think of that group they probably have the lowest upside. But they also are the best team right now of Memphis, New Orleans, Atlanta, and OKC. I think Phoenix has the best team right now of that group, and they're, other than Chris Paul, they're relatively young. So, but yes, the Sarver factor is worrisome. To be sure, but that, you know, we're not talking about them being a top 10 or here. All right, this was fun. I think we can.
Yeah, we got about a dozen teams left to shit on next week.
Yeah. And it'll tie nicely into eliminating a team from the playoffs next week as well. What did you write about for The Athletic this week?
Yeah, so I wrote about Nikola Jokic and Joel Embiid, actually, and how they've kind of been the top two players in the league so far, and how the big man hasn't died. It's just kind of changed in terms of what the league is asking from them. And then I teamed up with Josh Robbins to select all-star teams, early all-star teams for each conference. So that was fun.
All right. For my part, please check out the NBA cast if you are an NBA League Pass subscriber, or you could just buy the game individually as well. We're doing Warriors at Spurs next Monday. It's every Monday on NBA League Pass Digital. That's at 8:30 Eastern, 5:30 Pacific. And John and I will be back to talk about the rest of our fan power rankings next week. Till then.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on Auto Trader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on Auto Trader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on Auto Trader. Just you wait. Auto Trader.